Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Is it the amount? That's, yeah, now I am. I've spent a lot of time lately at the hospital. My son has been there. I appreciate Brother Jeffrey last Sunday preaching for me. Son had surgery last Sunday morning. But I was up there, my days kind of run together. I think it was Saturday, and or Friday. And he's in rehab right now. And so when I walked up to the fourth floor, there sat a man and a young lady. And you have to buzz a button to get into the unit back there. And so, anyway, we struck up a conversation. She was studying. I said, what are you studying for? And she was studying for the GRE. And I said, oh, you know, where are you trying to get in school? And so that struck up a conversation. And the man and myself, we had went to the same university. I got my master's degree at North Carolina Central. And so he had got his undergraduate degree. So we struck up a conversation. And I said, so you have someone back here? And he said, yes, my mother had a stroke this week. And so that led one thing to another. My mom had a major stroke in 1998, and she spent 5 years in a nursing home. And then my dad, in December 27, 1999, we had to put him in the same nursing home. He was on one hall. My mom was on another hall. And so in talking to them, the young lady said something about the Lord, and I said, so do you know Christ as your personal Savior? She said, yes, I do. And so, Brother Rod, I just felt impressed to pray for his mom's name was Rochelle. His name was Emmanuel. And so I took his hand and I began to pray. And Brother Steve, God moved in that hospital waiting room. And the presence of God was just real. And so I said, I'll probably see you here. And so I gave him our church web address and everything, and maybe he's listening today, maybe he's watching today. But the thing that I said to them was this: we have a confidence that if we know that this earthly house were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We will see them again. We'll see your daddy. We'll see daddy again. We'll see my mom and my dad again. Amen. Thank God for that. We'll see your mom again. Amen. We'll see them again. They're not vanished. They're more alive today than they ever have been. They're enjoying the presence of God. Brother Wiley, we'll see your wife again. Brother Goley, we'll see your wife again. Amen. We'll see your dad again. Amen. We'll see Nathan again. Praise the Lord. What a promise. Oh, what a promise. Oh, what a promise. Oh, what a promise. Amen, sis. All right. hopeless. She says, give all the credit to the Lord. Amen. Turn with me, please, this morning into the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and then over in 2 Thessalonians, if you would, please. If you don't have a Bible, I feel the Lord just laying it on my heart that we need maybe some pew Bibles, or, you know, we want you to bring your Bible with you, whether you got it electronically or what, whether you have it written, but bring your Bible with you. How many of you are ready to study the Word of God this morning? Amen. How many of you are asking God to give you something today? Would you pray with me right now? Would you pray that God would just open our eyes of understanding? Just illuminate our hearts. Unless the Holy Spirit of God does it. I appreciate Miss Janie. She brings her notebook. She writes down everything that we broadcast over the internet right now. And so those folks that are listening by internet, watching us by internet, we thank you. Everything we try to do in here, we record. So if you ever want a copy of the messages, Brother Jeffrey takes care of all that, and I thank him for doing all that. But would you right now pray with me and pray, Heavenly Father, open our eyes of understanding, illuminate my heart, show me the truths of thy word. Pray with me, please. Dear Lord, I thank you. I praise you today. Thank you for the sweet Spirit of God as we begin this first Sunday of this new year. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts of understanding, illuminate our minds. God, I can't do it. Lord, I'm helpless. I rely upon solely upon thee. Lord, it's nothing that I could say to persuade people or convince them, but it's your Spirit. Help us to understand the teachings of the Word of God. Help us to know your Word, apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Would you notice what the disciples said in verse 5? The apostles said unto the Lord, and would you all read this with me if you've got your Bible, King James? What? Say it with me. Increase our faith. That's my goal this year, Sister Gwen, is I posted on Facebook the other day, my goal. I'm not big on New Year's resolutions, Brother Chip, because many times we make those and we break them before January gets over with. Somebody in line the other day at Goodwill asked me, said, have you made any New Year's resolutions? I said, no, I haven't made any New Year's resolutions. But what I do want to make is I want to make a commitment to the Lord that my faith would increase this year, that I would believe God this year more than I've ever believed Him before, that I would see Sister Brenda, that I would see His hand at work, just like in your life. How that God touched you one Sunday night and God healed you one Sunday night right here of the heart ailments that you have. Do y'all believe that God is still able to do that? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so the disciples here said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul, writing to the church of Thessalonica, said this, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, that because that what? Your faith, say it with me, folks, your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith groweth. He said to these Thessalonican Christians, I thank God for you because your faith is growing exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Now, beloved, I want to say this in the beginning here. Paul said to this church, your faith is growing exceedingly. Question. Y'all answer me. Can our faith grow? Yes. Amen. Amen. Should our faith be growing? Yes. Some people say, well, I'm the same as I was 10 years ago. God help us. Our faith ought to be growing, Brother Chip. We ought to be striving. We ought to be improving. We ought to be seeking. We ought to have such a hunger for the things of God that our faith is not the same as it was in 2018. But in 2019, brother, we ought to be seeing more done for God. We ought to be experiencing more for God. We ought to be challenged more for God. We ought to, our faith ought to be growing exceedingly. So can our faith grow? Come on, church, talk to me. Can our faith grow? You say, what? Why does our faith need to grow? Friend, our faith needs to be growing. It needs to be enlarged. It needs to be getting stronger. We need to have greater faith in 2019 than we had in 2018. We ought to be able to step out and say, we want to see the hand of God work. We want to see people get saved. Y'all weak on me now. Our faith, we ought to believe. Listen, the other night, we might do this again. The other night, Monday night, the folks that were here as Hezekiah went into the house of God, and he had an enemy, Sennacherib, that was coming, and Sennacherib wrote him a letter and said, hey, we're going to wipe you off the face of the planet. And Hezekiah went into the house of God, and Hezekiah took and laid his petition on the altar of God and said, God, if it gets done, you're going to have to do it. Hey, wouldn't it be great if the children of God living right now in this church house would say, by the good grace of God, I'm trusting that it's going to be done. I'm trusting that folks are going to get saved. I'm trusting that folks are going to get delivered. I'm trusting that God is going to work miracles. God's going to heal folks that we've been praying for. Amen. Lord, increase my faith. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in Social Security. Have faith in our government. Have faith in our Democratic and Republican parties. God help us. Have faith in what, Brother Darrell? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's the only thing we can put our, brother, right? It's the only thing we can put our faith in. Have faith in God. Now, listen to me, church. Faith is not believing that there is a God. No. You say, well, I believe there's a God. That's even the devil and the demons of hell believe that there's a God. But it's not doing them any good. You understand that? The devil, hey, listen. By the way, the devil and the demons of hell, they believe that there is a God. They have seen Him firsthand. They know His power, but that's not doing them any good. Have faith in God. What are you talking about, preacher? Have faith in this blessed book. Is this God's Word? Come on, church, talk to me. Is this God's Word? Can I trust this as God's Word? Does, Brother Craig, is this Bible here relevant for 2019? Is it just relevant for way back then? Is it relevant for today? Yes, amen. All the church said glory. Can I trust what this book says? Amen. You can't trust everything I say. I can't trust everything you say. But you can trust everything that God says. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Brother Steve, but my word shall never pass away. So now here's the question. If it was good enough for back yonder, is it good enough for us today? If the promises were made to those back then, are the promises still good today? Is God the same God yesterday, today, and forever? Has God changed one iota? No, sir. He is the same God with the same power. He is the same Almighty Elohim. He is the same God. So what we need to do is increase our faith. We've got a choice to make. We've got a choice to make. Turn with me, please, to the Father of faith. And that's found in Romans chapter 4. Turn over there just a minute. Romans chapter 4. And I find a man by the name of Abraham. And I find that the Bible says that he was a father, but he was a father of faith. Look in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. If you found your place, say amen. Now watch this. Now I want to paint a visual picture to you. Now Abraham had to go through some stages in his life. He was not always a man of faith, and neither are you. When you get saved, you have baby-like faith. You have childlike faith. You just trust God and you believe God. But then, Brother Steve, as we begin to grow, God begins to move and God begins to bring our faith and increase our faith. And Brother Rodney, he will bring things into our life that will try us and says things that will test us. And Brother Darrell, things that will put us to the test to see what our faith is really like. In Romans 4, look in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of who? Faith of Abraham. Who is the father of us all. Now watch this, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Now, I want y'all to read this next passage or this next part with me. Read it with me. And calleth those things which be not as though they are. Stop right there. He calleth those things which are not as things which are. That's faith, Brother Chip. Faith is not seeing it. Faith is believing that God's going to do it regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you say, regardless of what other people may think. Faith is believing that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that what we ask or think according to the power that works. If you would get a hold of this morning, it will change your life. And he calleth those things which are not as things which are. Y'all understanding this right here? Now watch this. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. We'll look in verse 19. Let's read on. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise. The promise of who? God made him a promise. I'm getting ahead of myself just yet, but listen to me. God made him a promise when he was 75 years old. God said, you're going to be the father of a great nation. You're going to have many descendants. Your descendants are going to be like the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. At 75 years of age, God made Abraham a promise. Now, you know what you and I would have done? We would have figured immediately God would have fulfilled that. Because let's take this for granted. He's 75, brother. He's not no spring chicken. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You adults, read between the lines. Amen? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, Sarah, she wasn't no spring chicken either. She was 65. He was 75. And God made him a promise. You're going to be the father of a great nation. Now, if it was you and me, we would have thought, Brother Steve, that immediately God would have given a child. I mean, here he is, 75. But the child didn't come in 9 months. The child didn't come in a year. The child didn't come in 5 years. In 10 years. In 15 years. Now, if that had been you and I, we would have doubted. We would have said, it ain't going to happen. I can't trust God. I can't trust His Word. He lied to me. But friend, let all men be liars and God be true. Let's read on. I'm going to show you something. In verse 20, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but, read this, church, but was what? Strong in faith. Given what? Now, here's what we think that means. We think that he was strong in faith and he did this. Woo! Glory! Glory! That's not what he did. That's not what happened. You know what? He was strong in faith. And because he was strong in faith, it showed others. And others said, hey, oh, Abraham, he's got faith to believe God. And that brought glory to God. You know what brings glory to God? Folks like this right here that says, hey, I believe that God's going to heal me, and pray and believe. And he did that. That brings glory to God. The night that Sister Brenda here, now listen, y'all going to think I'm getting off my rocker, but I'm trying to do things biblical. She came and she said, preacher, I want to be anointed. I want to be prayed over. And she had this hypertension, pulmonary hypertension, and been to doctors and spent a lot of money, been out of church. She said, and so I got the deacons and we gathered around her, the church prayed for her. And I got a little bottle of just olive oil. Ain't nothing special. I don't know. It came from Walmart, I guess. Olive oil. You know, I just put in just a prescription bottle. And Brother Eddie Kivett sat back there and he said, preacher, when you took the top off of that bottle, he said, the Holy Ghost jumped out of there. But this sister right here trusted and believed that God. Hey, can I tell y'all something? You know why we're not seeing other folks heal today? Because you don't have the faith to believe it. Amen? And we're going to get to that. You say, preacher, you're getting off your rocker. No, sir, I'm trying to be Bible right now. Amen? Y'all still believe that we serve a God that can heal? Do you believe that we serve a God that can deliver, set the captive free, knock the drugs right out of somebody's life, break the chain of alcohol? Do you believe that? Hey, man, we still serve the same God that Abraham served. He's the same God, got the same power. All we got to do is unleash it. Glory. Now watch this. Abraham 75, Sarah 65. We would have thought that God would have gave him a son immediately. But the wait started. And he waited. And he waited 5 years and 10 years and 15 years and 20 years. But then when he got to be about 100 years of age, he come home one day, Jennifer, and his wife now, and 90, you know, in the 90s, and she's knitting baby booties. He says, what you doing there, Sarah? She says, I'm knitting baby booties. Oh, somebody don't have a baby, are they? Yeah, you're going to be a daddy. He's 100. Look at verse 20. You see, hey, get this, church, if you don't get nothing else this morning. Abraham, he was not moved by what he saw. He was not moved by what he felt. He might have went to bed and had to rub liniment all over his body. He might have woke up in the morning with aches and pains. But one thing was certain. He believed that God was going to fulfill his promise. He believed the word of God. And he said, listen, God is going to do it. I can't do it. I'm weak. I'm feeble. I'm no shape. But God can do it. He staggered not. You see, Abraham was not moved by what he saw. If he stood in a mirror, he'd see an old, wrinkled man that was beyond childbearing years. If Sarah stood in a mirror, she'd see a woman that by all means could not bear a child. But you see, with God, all things are what? Possible. Look at verse 20 again. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Because of his faith was strong, God received glory. Can I say that again, church? Because his faith was strong, God received glory. Wouldn't y'all want to be a church where God is glorified? Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my faith. I was looking. Hey, listen. I'm not going to read your names, but hey, these are prayer. Dear God, I want to pray for my family and myself to make my relationship stronger with you. Here's names. Here's a whole family. Keith, Dana, Danny, Kevin. Cure my stomach problems. Praying for my son. I have family members that have gotten away from God. They've been trying to get closer to God. My brother and his family, help me to be more of a witness and example. Wouldn't y'all like to see God answer every one of these this year? It can happen. It can happen. If we got a people of faith that just say, by the good grace of God, it doesn't matter what I see or what I feel. Doesn't matter what the people say around me. It don't matter. The soothsayer said it ain't going to happen. They'll never come back to God. Your home will never be reestablished. That person ain't never going to get saved. It don't matter what they say. I believe what God says. Where are the people of faith today? Would you rise up with me this morning and say, oh God, increase my faith. Help my faith to grow stronger, Lord. Help my faith to increase. Oh God, give me what you want me to have. I want increasing, never, ever, ever increasing faith. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1, 7. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1, 7. When you find your place, say amen. Two or three of you. 1 Peter 1, 7. Y'all should know this verse. That the trial of your faith is what? More precious than gold. 1 Peter 1, 7. The trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found. Now here it is. Follow me along and read it out loud, church. Might be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory. There's that word again. At the when? Watch this, church. Let's talk about this here. I'm going to say this and then we'll come back to it. You know when your faith is going to shine the brightest? What does that verse say? You got it, Jennifer. Say it. At the appearing of Jesus. You know when your faith is going to shine the brightest, Brother Chip? It's not right now. Your faith is going to shine the brightest at His appearing. We won't have time this morning. But I believe this. I believe this. That those that live by faith, the just shall live by faith, Brother Steve. I believe this, my friend. That those that live by faith, walk by faith, die by faith, they're going to shine in eternity. They're going to shine in eternity. Just like the stars of heaven. Some of those stars shine brighter than others. On a night, you can walk out and you can see little glimmers, but you can see that north star, and it's a shining bright. Hey, I want to be one of them bright, shining stars. You know how I can do that? If my faith increases and grows at the appearing of Jesus, my faith is going to shine in the heavens. Watch this. I didn't get to preach last Sunday, so I'm wound up. I was wound up Monday night. Amen. Don't say that now. We might be here a while. 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith might be found more precious than what? Peter, listen to me, church. Peter compares our faith to that of gold. Something that is valuable and something that is rare. Something that is precious. Can I tell y'all something? Real faith is rare in this earth. Now, listen, did everybody pack up and move out just when I said that? Are y'all with me this morning? Real faith is rare on this earth. Say, prove it to me. If we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, Jesus said, we could say to that mountain, be thou removed. Now listen, I'm not in the business of uprooting trees. I'm not in the business of taking mountains and throwing them into the ocean. But what he is saying is that sycamine, not sycamore, but the sycamine tree is the tree that has the deepest tap root of any tree on the face of the planet. And he says to that mountain is an obstacle in your life. I don't care what it is. It could be a person. It could be a problem. It could be a financial need. One of those prayer requests was, I'm praying that God would help me to meet my financial needs so I can pay my bills and give to him. Hey, honey, God will do it. But you can say to that mountain or that financial debt, mountain, be thou removed, and it'll be done. If you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Just a smidgen. Now let's go back. 1 Peter 1:7. Real faith is rare and precious. Brother Keith read this morning in the Sunday school opening. He didn't know this. But not all men have faith. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. Listen to what he read this morning. And that we might be delivered from unreasonable wicked men, for all men have not faith. Some of you sitting here this morning, you don't have the faith that you need to have. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know you had saving faith. You believe that God saved you, but you don't have living faith. How do you get that living faith? Lord, increase my faith. God will put you in a situation where your faith is going to be tried, it's going to be tested, and your faith can grow. As long as you're sailing the calm seas and everything's going well and the bills are paid and the kids are all well and there's no sickness and there's no hardship, hey, your faith is not increasing. But when you get in the storms of life and when you get in the trials of life and your faith is being tested, then you can testify of the goodness of God. When Jesus returns, he even asked this question in Luke 18:8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find folks living by faith, trusting God by faith? Your faith will be tested. Real faith is rare. It is rare, listen to me now, it is rare because people choose to believe what they can see and what they can feel rather than believing what God says. Can I say that again? Sister Gwen, you agree with me on that. People choose to believe what they can see and what they can feel. Well, brother, I went to the doctor this week, and my wife asked me the other day, she said, are you feeling okay? I said, I feel great. Now, I'm not going to let the devil know that I had a sniffle, okay? I'm not going to speak it. Hello? You know what our problem is? Some of you agree with me on this. The only thing the devil knows is what we tell him. The devil's not omniscient. And when we say, I feel like I'm getting the flu, guess what? Oh, the devil's going to say, oh, there's somebody I can get right there. Y'all believe that? So I'm not even going to speak it. Amen? Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There is power in the tongue. Yes. Amen. I done lost some of you. Some of you complain all the time. It's no wonder. Hey, listen, I'm just preaching. I'm not preaching at you. I'm trying to help you. But if we complain all the time, oh, this hurts and that hurts. And oh, hey, the devil says, hey, I think I'll just touch that little elbow some more. I think I'll touch that neck some more. Hey, I'm healed of the Lord. Hallelujah. I may not feel like it, but I am. I don't go by my feelings. I don't go by what it looks like. I go by what the Word of God says. Can I say I have an amen on that? It's going to get better. Look at 1 Peter 1:7. Our faith will shine when, as we said a minute ago, it will shine at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith will be carried over into the next life. I believe that, my friend. Our faith will be manifest when Jesus comes. I'm talking about this. And our time just is about gone. But let me share one other scripture with you. Turn to Matthew 25 for a minute. The faith that you had to believe God and His Word will shine like the stars of heaven. But not all believers will shine as bright as some believers. Some will shine brighter than others. You know, because it's measured on our faith. Our faith. Matthew 25, 21 to 28, here's the Lord speaking about these servants. And he says in Matthew 25, 21, his Lord said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." How many of you would like to be able, when we get into that millennial kingdom of God, how many of you would like to be able just to serve the Lord, but also, God's going to appoint His people to be rulers down here. I believe that. He's going to give you air. Some of you might get Franklinville. Brother, I might get Reedsville. I don't know. Greensboro. Wherever. But God said, if you're faithful down here, I'll reward you over there. If you live a life of faith down here, you walk by faith, make your decision by faith, act by faith. I had a dear man, I've said this before, Brother Chip, but it bears repeating. First church I ever pastored in Burlington. I was a young preacher, and we'd always meet for prayer. And a dear man, dear sweet man. And so he was telling me a story that about him buying a brand new Studebaker. Y'all remember them, do you? Some of you back in the 60s. And he said this, Brother Rodney, "I knew it was God's will, because the loan went through." And I thought to myself, a lost man with good credit could get that to happen. Here's the key. Instead of making decisions by what you feel or what you think, by faith. "Well, preacher, don't make sense." I didn't say it was supposed to. Do you think it made sense to Abraham to be 75 years of age and God said, "You're going to have a son and your descendants are going to be like the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea"? Abraham, if he wasn't strong in the Lord, if his faith wasn't anchored in Jesus, if his faith wasn't anchored in God, he would have doubted. He would have said, "Hey, this thing ain't never going to come to pass." But 25 years later, after the wait, God blessed him. Just because it don't happen tomorrow don't mean that it ain't going to happen. It ain't over till it's over. Back in Matthew 25, and he said this, "If you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee," look what he said, "I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord." And so then verse 22, "He that received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou hast delivered me unto 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside him.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, thou good and what?" Yep, there it is again. "For thou hast been what? Faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler of many things into thou." And so then they received the 1 talent, and he said, "Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth, and lo, and there it hast it is thine." And his Lord answered, and he said, "Thou wicked and you slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest thou to put my money in the 2 exchangers, and then in my coming I would have received it of my own usury or interest. Take that talent from that unprofitable servant and give it unto him over there who has been faithful, who has been true, who has been serving me. Give it unto him. Honey, I want to tell you something. I want my rewards to be intact because I want to live by faith, walk by faith, and die by faith." Every believer has a measure of faith. What you do with it is your decision. But God will reward those that have faith in His Word. Live by faith, die by faith, and believe by faith. I wonder how many of you right now, that's not the end of the message. We're going to just cut it off. I wonder how many of you right now would join these right here. I got some more blank cards. You would say, "You weren't here Monday night." That's okay. But you'd say right here, right now, "Lord, there's something I'm facing that I don't see how in the world it's going to happen. Lord, I don't see how in the world that this person is ever going to walk. I don't see how they're ever going to get healed. Lord, I don't see how I'm going to pay my bills. Would you be willing enough to say, Lord, increase my faith? And right now, this morning, I'm going to write down on this card, and I'm going to lay it on this altar up here, and I'm going to ask the people of God to join me in praying. Hey, we already got a good stack going here. That's going to be our prayer list this coming year. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray believing. Amen. How many of you believe unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us? Lord, how many of you join me this morning and say, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. I've been weak. Last year I was weak in faith. I'll be honest with you. Last year, Brother Rodney, a lot of times I got weak. Hey, if we can do it on ourselves, Brother Steve, we don't need God. If we can pay for it with a MasterCard, we don't need God. But when the meal pot is empty, Brother Steve, I like what you said the other night, that you said you came to the point that you gave God everything. And then he started turning around and blessing you. You know what our problem is? We want to hang on. We want to say, this is mine. This is mine. God says, let go. And let me, let go of your health, let go of your resources, let go and just trust me. Step out on nothing and prove me and show that the world that I am a God who is faithful.